Last year, for our affirming celebration, we had several people from the congregation speaking about what being an affirming congregation meant to them. And we heard a lot about the word welcome. The idea that all are welcome, and that this isn't just a trite phrase that we say, but something that we actively try to live into. But we also heard that the idea of welcome doesn't go nearly far enough. Because welcome doesn't address the active exclusion that has been so much a part of the church in our history and is so much a part of the wider church in our present. And so just saying among ourselves, "You're welcome," doesn't get us very far. And besides, when we say "you're welcome," often it's code. It's code for "you're welcome, come join us and be like us." It's code for "you're welcome as long as you're willing to do things our ways and not your ways. As long as you're willing not to make a fuss or change how we do the coffee time, or want different music, or want to be actively recognized for who you are." We have to be careful when we use the word welcome, that we're not using code. And we have to be aware that many people in the LGBTQ+ community already have heard that code of welcome and are going to be suspicious of it. So we start with, welcome is not enough. We start with the problem of be like us. And I might add to that, that we should not start either with the golden rule. You know the golden rule? Do unto others as you have them do unto you. Yeah, we learned that in Sunday school or in school or from our parents, from everyone, right? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The problem is we're all different. So just saying treat others the way you want to be treated assumes that others are like you, that they want the same things, that in fact they need the same things, that really we're all the same. And it's not the case. We want and need different things because of our different stories and different experiences. So you could say the golden rule is a good starting point, but it's not enough either. Jesus didn't tell us to follow the golden rule. He talked about something else. He talked about love. What's the most important of all the commandments? And he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and love your neighbors as yourself. Not treat other people the way you want to be treated, not be welcoming, love. Now, if you are here on Good Friday, or if you listen to the recording from Good Friday, you know that we have to be careful about the word love as well. Because in the church, we tend to make love a small word. And in society in general, we tend to make love a small, safe word, like, you know, a warm cup of tea or a hug. We don't remember that the starting point of love is being open, being vulnerable, being changed by others. But we have to stick with love despite the challenges, both in our tendency to make it small and safe or meaningless. A safe answer to the question, what does God want you to do? Because sometimes as we watch the news, we realize that this question about love is not an assumed given. It's not the starting point for so many people. And if we really took the idea of love seriously as individuals and as communities, as a whole world, the world would look nothing like ours. And we wouldn't be hearing about the shooting yesterday in a synagogue in the States on the last day of the Passover festival. And we wouldn't be hearing about the attacks in Sri Lanka on the Christian churches, or the attacks last month in a mosque in New Zealand. These aren't isolated incidences. These are a pattern emerging from a world that does not see love, does not experience love, does not start with love. And it's not enough to say, well, that didn't happen here, or that's not me. It needs to be something much bigger, much more widespread than that. Love is the first principle in what we read, what we write, what we say, how we think, what we do. And remembering that when we talk about love in the church, we're talking about agape, unconditional love that's not based on an individual or an individual's worth, but is about a vision about how we, as a whole, relate to and care for one another, transcending our humanity to be more like God's unconditional love, which welcomes each one of us, not based on who we are or what we do or what we believe or don't believe. So love. Love that's vulnerable. Love that's honest about our own flaws, about the strengths and weaknesses of others. Love that's patient with ourselves and with others. Love that is willing to be changed, to be disturbed, to be moved to new places, new experiences, the ones we don't expect. New perspectives, the ones we don't hold. New actions, the ones we don't do right now. For those of us here today who are not directly part of the LGBTQ+ community, we remember, as all of us remember, whenever we are not part of a community that has been marginalized in the past or in the present, that our job is not to speak for others who have been marginalized. Our job is to speak with them just enough to make sure those voices that go unheard are actually heard. And not so much that we're doing all the talking. I heard a story some years ago from someone who had gone to one of the Truth and Reconciliation gatherings. And there were a group of church leaders from different denominations talking about the residential schools, who spent a lot of time talking about what the churches had done wrong and apologizing and being sorry for what had happened and talking when what they should, in fact, have been doing was saying a few words and then listening to the experiences of those who had lived through it, or whose parents and caregivers had lived through it. We have to pay attention to when we're talking and when we're not. and recognize our own failings in that. Like me, right now, talking. Are we willing to listen? Not assume we know what we'll hear. Are we willing to allow that listening to change us? To change this congregation and our communities? Are we willing to actually take the idea of love seriously in the way Jesus took it? Being changed in his life and his work and his love, and in the way God takes it each day. Being changed, being vulnerable to our suffering, to our hurt, to the spaces where we do not allow silence. Change, in other words, transformation. And because we're in church, we bring to that idea of change and transformation the story of resurrection, the story of new life, the promise that goes like this. Life and love are stronger than death. Hope is stronger than fear. Our ability to change is stronger than our certainty we do not need to change or to grow. Love is that agent of transformation. And we must allow ourselves to be transformed as individuals, as a congregation, as an affirming congregation, as a community, a country, a world, to be changed, to be transformed in unexpected, even unwanted ways by the power of love, which we call the working of God. Amen.